Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comedian Jerry Rocha, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a visit from Dave Damashek, and now, guy he could hang out with, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you. Spread the good word, and we go into year number 9 over here. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
I'll put on my wiener whatever I choose, sir.
The great Dave Damashek. Facebook.com/Damashek. You can find him. Also, the podcast, the Dave Damashek Football Program. Dave, yeah. Hypothetical guy. You could, we'll go with the road trip. Go the hypothetical road trip. Somebody tweeted me, said, play it with Dave. I got
We're
one
We're driving
for
to Florida!
You got to drive from the Santa Monica Pier to the Epcot Center with either one of these dudes. Just one. Either guy who says his wife is his best friend guy, or...
He's going to be hard to beat.
Guy who's built, knows it, does the barbecue with the bib over him while he's shirtless. So he's got the smock over him. He knows his lats are sticking out.
Does it say kiss the cook? Because that would be something.
It could say anything, or it could say nothing. He knows he's built.
Yeah.
He knows the lats are sticking out. He's got it tied tight because he's got a 30-inch waist. And he's got the apron over, and he knows it's showing, it's perfect. It's showing off the guns, the upper gun. It's showing off the lat hanging out. It's coming down into the V. He's playing it like he doesn't have time for the t-shirt. You know, he may get back in the pool in the next several hours. So who could take the extra 11 seconds it takes to remove a t-shirt?
It's amazing how convenient it is for the guys who want to lose their shirt to find the opportunities to lose their shirt.
I love that guy. I love the guy who leaves the house with the t-shirt, but at some point takes it off along the way. Now he has it like tucked into his shorts while he's running down Ventura Boulevard at 5:30 in the afternoon, like high traffic volume. Because that's what you want. Carbon monoxide is what the doctors ordered.
The guy next door to me always has his garage open and is out there shirtless doing goodness knows what. I mean, how many circumstances require you to be topless, sir?
I'll take it a step further. A lot of big men in the NBA added a shirt. Like they had an extra shirt.
Under layers.
Patrick Ewing.
doing added a shirt. Right. Yeah, he's like, right. I find this tank top too confining. I need a second shirt.
Yeah.
It's not waking up enough sweat.
His contemporary, Chris Mullin. Also, they were the trailblazers of the jerseys, and now a lot of people do it. My answer
I have a thought, though, by the way. It's like when I see the aging porn star who has the big bosom but keeps the corset on, and I think a couple of stretch marks, and perhaps a C-section. When I see the NBAer with the T-shirt on, I think back knee. Or perhaps black knee.
Where does that go?
my guess is, although I've not confirmed this with Patrick Ewing directly, my guess is his issue was perspiration. And okay. I don't think the T-shirt resolved that issue for him.
I always heard anecdotally that he was from Jamaica. He's Jamaican, and he was cold. He was too cold for him with the regular jersey on.
That's an excuse, Bald. That's what you call an excuse.
That's right. When you have the black knee, that's what you say.
Yeah. Whereas the guy who is always shirtless is explaining, I'm from Saskatoon. Ergo, I'm always heated up. Not going to lose the shirt again.
Well, also, you leave the house with the shirt on. You start the jog, and 28 steps in, you decide you got to unload this 9 ounces of cotton that's holding you back. I mean, one could argue that the shirt, which is wicking up the sweat and the moisture, it's actually better. Although, I got to say, I don't think there's any sport where you sweat more and you're wearing apparel that's worse for wicking it up. The basketball guys, I see them wiping their face with the sort of front of the thing, but it always looks like some sort of shiny rayon thing. Like, it's not...
Yeah,
it's not good for what it's supposed to
do. Having played plenty of ball, as you know, Ace, not well, as you also know. Mm-hmm. But either way, I will tell you that the T-shirt, I mean, it's the lesser of two evils. Keep that thing on. You know, first of all, as an adolescent, even I was, you know, I had low self-esteem enough to know I never want to be on skins. It's embarrassing for me. I don't want to do that. And certainly now. But when the guy loses his shirt and pick up basketball.
Hold on. Let me just explain it, Gene. They break the teams up and the guys shirts have been skin. Circumcised and guys are uncircumcised.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got that wrong.
you ever get slimed by a sweaty, shirtless back? You'll never.
No, it's bad.
Please, just get. I don't care what. By the way, can I say something else? Let me heat it up. If we need it, Ace, if you call for it. Well, I'm ready with a jerk list, but just to get myself warmed up here, grown man walking around in a tank top. Where's your dignity, man? I don't want to. What do I care about your armpits? Stop being a jerk.
Oh, we're doing that.
All right, so Sheck, who do we drive to Florida with? The guy?
It gives me, you know, I don't know.
Muscular apron guy or wife best friend guy?
I feel like if we're driving through the Southwest region in Texas and everything else, I don't know what shady little neighborhoods we'll wind up in, and I might want the brawn. But then again, it's no longer the old West. I don't think there's going to be any gunplay and otherwise along the way. Give me the guy whose wife is his best friend because he's a milquetoast. Ergo, you know, Dave likes to rule the music, you know.
The
and
verbal roost.
When to pull over.
What we're going to eat, when we're going to eat, all those sorts of things. He's going to be a pushover. So give me that
but
guy.
But Dave, every 5 minutes, if it's quiet, he's going to ask you how you are and if there's any penny for your thoughts.
Yeah, he's going to miss her, and he's going to have to,
he's going to be a lot of, like...
You know, Judy would love this barn.
Yeah. Anytime you pass, you'll be passing the Grand Canyon or all the monuments along the way, and he'll explain about how they went there for their third honeymoon or whatever it is, and you'll seethe in anger. He can't like the same music. He doesn't want any Modest Mouse in there.
No.
He's going to want...
But he'll do my bidding because he doesn't have the spine to even stand up to half a man like Damashek. You know? What is the right answer, Ace?
Well, it's the guy in the smock.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Because why?
Because you picked the other one.
Right.
I mean, that's 1 through 3.
Got it.
And that guy who lets his traps and his biceps do his talking doesn't do a lot of talking. That's kind of a quiet guy. The guys, we drilled down on it earlier in the week. The guys with the hogs, the guy with the tattoo all over the top, back top hand thing. That's that guy lets his aggressive piercings do his talking and his Harley exhaust with the baffle removed and his lats, but not his mouth. Those guys don't talk. The guy whose wife's best friend is going to chew your ear off the whole time is really going to drive you nuts.
Yeah, so, I mean, I mean, Love Actually is kind of underrated.
Right,
like, you know, I don't want to have the conversation.
Right.
You know, please.
Yeah. All right.
It's a really good movie.
We will.
Never seen it.
We have me. Oh, we forgot about
what
this.
What about tank tops, though? We're down on those, right? They're not good for grown men. Why are grown men? Why are these in vogue now? I don't care for it. Grad, how say you? Do you want to see a fella walking around like that? His pits out for the world to see?
I sure
don't. Why is that my business?
I sure don't.
Stop making it my business.
I'll tell you why. Because the last person to know that they have deodorant remnants under their arm is the person with
the deodorant remnants under their arm.
Yeah.
That's like the person who poops in a toilet and poops in the bathroom and then tries to mask it with that lemon scent. And then the only thing worse than the poop stench is the poop stench masked ever so vaguely by that lemon scent. Mm. Then it makes you want to vomit. That's the same sort of thing. I don't want to see your sweaty pits, but the only thing I want to see less than that is your sweaty pits with a little bit of the flecks of white.
All right. Now this is bringing me to two guys. There's two versions of this guy. I've complained about this guy. Is it hot or is it cold guy? Like the hipster who's wearing the super skin tight tee, the undersized tee, and he has a scarf wrapped around him and he's wearing the spin doctor's beanie, but he's wearing flip flops. Hot or cold, douche? Yeah. Hot or cold? I'll say the same thing.
Shorts and a hoodie.
Yeah. Yeah. But somehow when they add the wool cap
and the accessories,
it really puts me over the top. And I've seen the dude with the scarf and the super tight short t-shirt.
Yeah.
Okay. This dude. There's a biker version of this dude, which is the mega dude Grizzly Adams beard and always wearing a tank top. That guy. Like, come on. Your face has to be melting. Like, how hot is it? I don't know if you guys were there. Did you watch? Real Sports.
Hard Knocks. Yeah.
Hard Knocks. I was watching Hard Knocks and I'm the dude who. If I was literally just thinking, if my hair gets any longer than it is now, I need a haircut because I get miserable. It gets hot. It gets fly away. It gets whatever. They're out in Tampa this year, and I see the brothers with the crazy predator locks, just massive man bun. Like there's 8 pounds of hair on top of these guys. They're practicing in Tampa. They're outdoors. Like it's
with
a helmet pulled on top. Like. This is the Jews have something called a hair shirt. This is a hair head. Mm-hmm. This is you being. It would be somebody said, "Hey, we would like to torture you for an hour. How much to take this huge Rastafarian wig, this huge colander of hair spaghetti, and put it on your head and walk around Tampa while the sun is overhead?" You'd be like, "I'm going to need $500 an hour because that's going to be miserable." They go, okay, now how much to put a helmet on, full gear, and do some jingle jangles in the middle of a field? You'd be like, I got to talk to my doctor. I don't think I'd be allowed to do that.
That 278-pound man over there is going to run into you full speed while you're doing it, too.
I get the brothers and the looks, but this look in Tampa, it's got to be painful.
Yeah, fashion's got to fall by the wayside and think practically.
Well, never mind. What about the stench? Oh, imagine that. You know, that's the other thing. You got to get your hair cut when it's summertime because, you know, it gets all sweat, you know.
Your hair is basically a throw pillow in a bad smoker's apartment. Like, whatever that throw pillow, like, if you took this throw pillow from the one-bedroom apartment with the elderly couple.
Absorbs all
yeah,
the
you just, you could go,
parts.
I could take it out to a forensic nose, like Shaq and Ed go, and then you go, smokers, oh, no, he smokes, no, he doesn't inhale. He smokes Tipperillas. He's a cigar man. She's a Kent gal. They have a, three cats. Two tabbies. One has one leg.
Tex-Mex in the cafeteria last night.
Yeah, Tex-Mex. What else we got? Oh, he's a he likes she's Lavoris, he's Listerine. he's a what is he? Is that high karate? What is that? Electric shave? What? It's a generic. Yeah, sorry.
You live within 60 yards of a barbecue joint.
Right. Right. So that throw pillow will tell you all you need to know about what's going on inside that apartment on a daily basis. I feel like that Rasta hair is all you need to know about.
Do you remember
that guy.
The Houston tab? By the way, this one's going to be great. You can already tell. Jameis Winston, this was easy to call in advance. Jameis Winston is a very funny, charismatic guy. Mike Evans is. and Gerald McCoy, the star defensive lineman, the Buccaneers. They're rich with personality, so that'll be a fun one. But do you remember the Houston Texans one with Vince Wilfork, who retired earlier this week, when it was so hot down there? And Gina Grad, I know you definitely saw this several times over, but I hate to bring it back up to you. He was pushing his foot down with his cleats still on, and there was literally sweat bubbling up through the shoes. And I've confirmed that that's not just an ailment of a fat guy. That happens to all if you're in that temperature, in that humidity at this time of year, practicing football, all that gear, all the sweat settles in your shoes and feet, and then they push it down, and it literally bubbles up through their toes and socks and comes out.
The tenactin smell.
With the cartoon wafting lines.
It's horrible.
All right, that being stated, now I had this thought. So I love Jameis, by the way. I love that guy's personality.
He's the best. He's
a
delightful.
Giant kid.
I gave him at NFL Honors the the black tie thing that happens before the Super Bowl the night before, and I was there giving gifts to the guys as they went into a 3-hour ceremony, and I gave Jameis a goldfish in a bowl, and he was delightful about it. He took it away. He named it. What did he name it? Glubby or something like that, and he took it away. And months later, still reporting back on whatever the dumb thing. He's a swell fella.
I'm in. I'm going to pose a question. It may sound controversial, but I don't steer away from the controversial. But I think if we approach it intellectually, we might come upon some answers. Right. I'll put it out there. I'll tease it, and then I'll hit bombfell, which is this. As I was watching, I thought to myself, I don't know if white people and black people have ever been further away in terms of like language, fashion, everything. They showed a clip. They said, like, what are you doing during the off season? During your last weekend off, they showed the players taking Pilates. It was 10 white guys and not one black guy. The black guys were at the barbecue joint having a good time. And I started thinking, though, from the fashion, the culture, So if you take a look, you go to the 70s, everyone looked like they were in Earth, Wind, and Fire. Everyone wanted to be in Earth, Wind, and Fire. Earth, Wind, and Fire wanted to be in Earth, Wind, and Fire. Then when it started a band called Earth, Wind, and More Fire. Okay. So we're all pretty close. Like, it was kind of disco-y. There wasn't a big chasm.
Right.
You go back and
KC from KC and the Sunshine Band was white man America.
Right.
It was
same fashion.
Right. Big afro.
Single.
Right. And the language wasn't real. There wasn't a big chasm in the way the words, the language, and all that kind of stuff. It was all just that. If you go back then to turn of the century and you go back to like ragtime times or whatever, it was black guys were wearing bowler caps and bow ties and essentially even like parting their hair, not even parting it, but like carving a part into their hair and sort of joining in, sort of trying to replicate the white man, his fashion, his mannerism. So that's that. I want you guys to all think about this. Has there ever been a time? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying the time when the brothers on the team are definitely speaking their own language, doing their own handshakes, like wearing their own fashion. Like, they just got a whole separate thing going on. And then you got a bunch of guys from, University of Idaho named Zach who are trying to make it as the fifth linebacker overachiever guys. And it's like a totally different. They're two different human beings.
We're watching it play out right in front of us on Hard Knocks.
Well, that's right. Think about it. Hold on. Give it some thought. Give it some thoughtful thought. And I'll tell you about Bombfell. Easier way for men to get better clothes. $0 when you sign up. No fees. Only pay for the clothes you keep. Every piece is handpicked by our own stylist. Just complete a simple questionnaire. Your stylist will email you the selection. You'll have 48 hours to make changes or cancel altogether. So you got a couple days. I think you plenty enough heads up for you. Flexible and receive clothes once a month, twice a month, three times a month. You can pause. You can cancel at any time. I'm on the monthly plan. I just got my latest package out in the next room. Beautiful stuff and super easy. Great clothes. Great customer service. We negotiated a $25 offer for my listeners. So for the $25 off,
your first purchase, visit Bombfell, that's B-O-M-B-F-E-L-L, Bombfell.com/Corolla, that's Bombfell.com/Corolla, and get the $25 off the really nice clothes. All right, thoughts?
I like the idea of Vontaze Burfict and Bob Greasy getting together to see what they have in common.
Did you say Vontaze Burfict?
He's That's the it. White guy.
The That's names it. Are getting crazier. The looks are getting crazier. The language.
The Vontaze Burfict's are getting crazier.
He is crazy.
He hit his own teammate the other day in the knee in a non-contact drill.
Oh my God.
he's crazier. Sit down, Gina. Crazier than Brian Cox. Brian Cox, not the actor. Remember the old linebacker?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. Thoughts. What are our thoughts on this?
It seems like it's simultaneously going everything you said, going farther apart, but then certain parts, like I don't know. Like the way handshakes.
They all watch Game of Thrones.
That's true.
Now we're back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, from a pure cultural standpoint.
The white guys used to have their own handshake, the traditional handshake. How's it going? And the black guys had their handshake. And everyone's doing the bro shake,
Bring it in. I'll tell you what. I think that might be right, as a matter of fact, because whereas, let's say a decade ago, I think that you could look at the gay community for fashion tips 4 years from now. Like, what would Now it seems like younger white kids, teens, 20-year-olds now have adopted that culture.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's try to figure this out.
I'm square because I don't know too much about Jay-Z.
What would be a yardstick to measure this difference? Now, we need a photograph, right?
Okay.
And we need a consistent photograph. See, if you said graduating classes of UCLA or Cal State Fullerton or whatever, something, you got to go back 100 years, and then you have to see now, and you can't go Naval Academy,
right?
Because everyone's going to have the same haircut.
Yeah,
you have to pick a high school that's like 100 years old,
right?
Or a something, and then it's there's Notre variations Dame, about the South example. And stuff like that. We have to find a smallish, classish picture, because if you go to the 50s, I think you'll see the brothers just with the 50s haircut and the bow tie, or even like that, Sammy Davis Jr. attempt to kind of comb it back, that whole thing. I don't think you're going to see that. I think if you go to the 80s, you'll see a little more, but I think if you go to Tuesday, you'll see even bigger.
I think you're right about this, and as a side note, as an aficionado of college football in the late 70s, early 80s, really loved it then.
Ooh, college football pictures.
What's weird is
national championship.
Yes, those guys all look, both races look like, every one of them looks like a 39-year-old man, and they're average age 19. They all have mustaches, Fu Manchu. They all have really big hair. It's crazy. I don't know. But that's a side note. But yes,
we can't dig much deeper than the late 50s, early 60s. There won't be any brothers on the team.
That's true.
Yeah.
It won't be at that
start at a certain time.
We still have to figure out, Gary, what that class picture is. That it could be for the post office. Like, it just needs that 25, 30 people standing out front. I don't know why I've decided it should be guys, but standing out front taking that. It'd be national championship for football would be perfect, except for from 1901 to 1957, it'd just be all white all the time. We just need a regiment. Maybe they didn't have the mixed regiment. Man, are we racist?
We sure are.
I will accept the national championship teams, Gary, but I only will accept them after there's five or more black folk.
Look up
on
the 1980 Pitt Panthers. Gator Bowl champs.
What a shock. Dave's talking about Pittsburgh.
I'm looking for a good example, and that's the one I have as a point of reference. I don't know if you heard, that's where I grew up.
What was your suggestion, Jack?
As much as I hate them, I would suggest Notre Dame, because they draw nationally, whereas with Pittsburgh, you're going to get 50% of the guys from Pittsburgh. With Alabama, you're going to get 50% of the guys from the South, U.S., you know what I mean? Like, Notre Dame's going to have a very wide distribution all over the country.
Stick to your buttons, though, okay? Would you please?
Dave said if we could find the graduating class from Beaver Falls Junior College outside of Allegheny.
The Pitt Panthers, who were robbed of their shot in the Sugar Bowl at a national championship against the Georgia Bulldogs and Herschel Walker.
Was Dan quarterbacking the team?
Yeah, thank you.
CJ, 50, Newport.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man. What's going on?
Hey, so thanks so much for the podcast masterclass on Saturday. I had a great time. Learned a lot.
Oh, good.
I had a question for Gina. When I gave my pitch, you asked the question about how deep I would go into being a child of a single mother.
We should set the table for the listeners. There's one or two people listening who weren't there. The people got to line up and pitch us an idea for a podcast. They had 30 seconds start to finish. They could go as long or as short as they want. Many went over, but they had 30 seconds hard time to pitch us an idea.
And CJ was like, I'll take all the time I want. I'm just going to call the show and finish later.
Right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brian did a very yeoman's job of keeping everything on track.
You were eating lunch, and I was emceeing the event.
You were double plating it.
I was attempting. I didn't want them to bring food out on stage, but they did.
The initial idea, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, but the initial idea was, they'll come up and they'll spend 60 seconds pitching, and then you guys workshop, and like, this is going to go on for 5 hours.
There were 200 people pitching.
I think we ended up getting through 62 people.
62 awesome. People.
30 seconds was the way to go.
You had 200 people. Muzzle
there was
tub.
Way more right. there.
Hey, CJ, sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No, that's okay. By the way, I think I was the only person drinking Mangria while they pitched you.
Thank you. Took the edge off.
Were you the one who was pitching about being the only male in a female dominated house?
No.
No, I'm not sure what the question was.
Yeah, just a matter of growing up with a single mom and not ended up being a puss.
Oh, right.
I'm a football player. And you said, how deep would you go into, or how dark would I go into that? And I didn't really have time to think about the question. I was just curious, is that something you'd want to hear about, or is that a little bit off-putting?
Sorry, CJ, we're going to have another masterclass in 7 years. Come on out and finish your story. We'll put 35 seconds up on the clock.
So, just reset.
See, you're good at those buttons, Bob.
In the mid-2017s, I would personally say, in general, I think Adam and Brian would agree, the more you'll divulge about your own life, the more captivating it would be.
I can say that I have never thought about this. I don't think there's a limit in terms of content. There's a limit in terms of sincerity. I think sometimes when you feel like somebody is intentionally laying it on thick, like when you see you watch Real Housewives, Orange County, they start talking about what their stepdad did to them, and it feels really weird, but it also feels very contrived, and like they've told the story 100 times, and that it feels like it's kind of cooked up, and then it feels weird. I don't think it's about what's been done to you, or what you did to somebody else, or how deep or intimate or revealing it is. It's about how sincere it is, and then who's telling the story. I think it's the same with movies and stuff. It's not really the content. It's sort of how it's portrayed and how they're portraying it and who's saying it. And there are times when it can feel weird and off-putting and icky, but I think that's the person more than the event.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I that's amazing advice, and looking at it from a totally different angle. I think it's tiresome when you constantly ask someone a question, they're like, well, I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
You know, and constantly sort of deflecting.
I agree.
Please don't, Brian.
All right,
Dave. New hypothetical: you'd rather drive across country with the guy whose wife is his best friend, or the guy who constantly cites Real Housewives as examples for life advice?
My wife watches it, and occasionally I enter the room. And then,
look at that coaching staff from the 1980 Pitt Panthers. There's Jackie Sherrill, who would later move down to Mississippi State, and where else did he go? A&M, and he cut off. That's where he infamously castrated a bull to inspire his team before a game. Remember that when he did that?
No,
he cut off the stuff, the junk. He cut it off in front of the team. Can you imagine that?
Why did they make all the black guys stand in the front row?
I think they take the skill position shorter guys.
Okay.
Number two.
That's a good point. They're all in the front row.
Rooster Jones is his name. Number two. Rooster Jones.
Great John Wayne movie.
99 is the great Hugh Green, who should have won the Heisman Trophy.
Superfly meets True Grit.
It's hard to see in this photo, but if you get close to it, there are black guys kind of spread throughout.
True Grits.
True Grits. Yes. Yes,
so
Paul Bryan. All right, so we're back at 1980, and I don't really see a big difference in hairstyle, for instance.
If you can push in, trust me. There's Marino in row 3, 13. He's got a gigantic afro, right behind number 42.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's backing up Adam's point, the white guys and the black guys had afros.
Right.
Yeah, there was the perm on the dude and the white dude and the Jerry curl on the. So 1980 would not have been the chasm year. I feel like we're in the chasm. I feel like we're.
It's certainly a greater chasm than 1980.
Than 1980, yes. Right. All right.
Do you want me to see how many I can name?
Please, oh, get ready with the Who. Get ready with the Who. Here we go.
There's number 6, Al Wayne Lukowski. Number 87 is Caesar Aldisert, I believe. There's Joe McCall, number 34. All right, that's enough. Gina, you do the rest.
Yeah, I'll do it all afterwards, right. Privately.
J.C. Pelosi.
I got your finest.
Nancy Pelosi.
Rick Tricano. Rick Tricano, there he is.
All right, Sheck.
CJ Pelosi.
Before I forget, Dag was on Kimmel last week, I think, and he did the pharmaceutical black kid's names.
The classic.
I just love it. Stumbled onto it on Loveline a million years ago. So Gary pulled the clip, and we're going to take a look at it. Hold on. First, I'll tell you about SNHU, considering college. Yeah, you got to think about that group photo, man, when you graduate. Whether you're attending for the first time or going back to complete your degree, there's 3 common financial aid mistakes, and I want you to avoid these. And I'll tell you how you can find them in a second. Discover them at Southern New Hampshire University by texting MOVE to 554433. SNHU's mission, make higher education accessible and affordable. They're devoted to learning, not profit. Tuition's skyrocketing across the country. SNHU's hasn't raised their online tuition in years. So let's save some money. Let's get an education. Learn about SNHU Plus, the top 3 financial aid mistakes and how to avoid them. Joke's on the colleges for the ace man. I went right to digging ditches, man. By texting MOVE to 554433. That's MOVE to 554433. All right. You got it?
Yeah. Would you like to just jump right into it, or would you like the intro portion where they're explaining the kind of the genesis as well?
Well, I'm mixed because I'd like to jump right into it, but on the other hand, they mentioned my name once.
From the beginning, it is.
All right.
You are a very talented man, and you're, of course, acting, performing, all of the stuff you do. But one of the things you do that I love more than anything is something that I think, did you start doing this with Adam Carolla on his radio show?
Oh, what are you talking about? You're talking about the...
The thing where you take prescription drugs and then you make them into children's names.
Wait a minute, first of all.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do that.
Okay.
On the fly, it was on the.
Of course,
it was on the old.
You were making pastrami.
It was on the old radio show that he did a long time ago with Dr. Drew.
Right.
Love Line.
Yeah.
And I just started doing it, and nothing makes me happier than making Adam and Dr. Drew laugh. And this particular night, I think Adam threw the headphones across the studio, and he was crying.
Well, that was a long time ago.
It was.
And since then, there are a lot of new prescription medications.
Okay.
So I thought maybe I'd run a few by you, and you can show us how this works, okay?
Okay, right. Well...
You've not seen these.
No, I have not.
Okay.
Backstage, I have not seen them or gone over them. So the third one, start with the third.
The first one, we'll start at the top, Boniva.
Boniva! Boniva! Did you get that BB gun? Don't point it at me. Put that gun down. Put that gun down. Come here. Come here. Come a little closer.
If I had headphones, I'd throw them right now. Lunesta.
Lunessa. 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 Lunessa, do Auntie a favor. Go in the fridge there. Give me a beer.
This one, I don't know if I've heard this one, but go. Eliquis.
Uh-oh.
Eliquis?
Eliquis! Eliquis! Where's your twin brother, Deliquis?
All right. One more. Latuda.
Latuda. Latuda. Latuda, I can't chase you no more. Go by that bush.
snatch down a switch and give yourself a spanking.
Yeah, the great Dag, everybody. Always funny. Always satisfying. I don't think I ever laughed so hard. All right, Sheck.
Oh, now I go, your favorite bit of all time, and then followed by my tepid nonsense?
We need a break from the comedy.
Yeah, break it up.
Hit it!
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Deja vu, right? That's a 10-year, I haven't heard that in forever. Deja Ju.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel, too,
that's
by
Jimmy.
The way. And no, this show's lousy with Kimmel officially now. We see show, now we're hearing his voice there. All right, this isn't properly jerk list music, but let's use it anyway and start off with the greatest competition, not the game of football, the game of life, and you know the Shecky Awards address those at the end of every year. Here's an important update, and it's not a good one. 2017, we're in August. This is the height of all fruits powers, pretty much. But I'm ready now to announce one is out of the running. Ooh. And it's usually right up there, but we
one
don't
fruit.
Even need,
disappointed
we,
you this
we
year.
We don't need to even get to Labor Day before I say you're out of the running. I'm sorry, I took a bite of you. In fact, I took a few bites of you last night. And you were mealy and you were unsatisfying. Goodbye, watermelon. You're a jerk.
Oh.
Have you had watermelon late? I mean, this is the time for it to shine, and it ain't doing it. Let me down.
There's no comeback for watermelon possible. I mean, it's off. It's out of the running.
Well, I mean, listen, if it's not going to be delicious in August, what miracle is going to have to happen? I guess let's never say never.
You know that Christmas watermelon you look forward to?
Yeah, precisely. Yeah, if it ain't going to get it done now, you know. Next up, sticking with food-based things, I think we can all agree, we all like corn on the cob, right?
Yeah.
All buttered up in summertime. Ham, you know, the most underrated breakfast meat. Throw some bone-in ham in a pan.
Bone-in ham.
Oh, you'll go wild. Yeah. It might even replace bacon for you. Ham either way. And then cheese. So much range that's delighted us. Why then? Who's the wiseacre who decided way back when that not just one of those words, but all three would mean the same thing, and it would be a negative to be called corny, hammy, and or cheesy.
Wow.
All three, the same thing, all foods, and all good food. Why would you use good food? Why would you sully those after all and each has done for our lives? Why not? Well, you know, if you want to denounce somebody, you know, the three-week-old oniony. I don't know what. Well, it's a bad food, but I'll tell you this. Corn, ham, and cheese ain't it. And if you think any of them are, you're a jerk!
Right, I mentioned at the podcast masterclass, ironically, all Jews are hams.
That's true.
Wow.
They're that the hammiest of all the people. Never met a quiet I bring up
reflective.
Hold on. I bring up Ron Jeremy.
He is the way. He is exactly.
Porn
what you're
stars
about.
Let their urethra do their talking. They're not chatty people. They're porn stars. They're high all the time with a boner. Like they're just.
They speak softly and they carry.
There is one Jewish porn star. His name is Ron Jeremy, and he'll talk everyone's ear off. If you pick the one Jew in, like, you know, if you could find like the one Jew in porn, the one Jew in NASCAR, like the one Jew in whatever, that'll be the talkiest person in the entire sport. Ron Jeremy arguably talks as much as 35 porn stars. Like if you took 35 Peter Norths and you put them all together, Ron would talk more than them. It's insane.
And he tells, because, you know, with the man show, he was around a couple of times at least.
Yeah.
He tells the worst jokes of all. I mean, really.
It's the other thing, too.
Like the one that your great uncle, you know, like, I go, you like a joke? I'll tell you a good joke. Like, oh, my God.
And doesn't he always end it with his own mouth sound effect, like a whistle or a click? Have you experienced that? Yes, he sure does.
Mm. Oh, does he?
Yes, he sure does.
How would you
know? I haven't experienced
a little, what do you call that?
Oh, like to make the droplets?
Yeah, a lot of those.
The thing the guy from Animal House would do.
A lot of those.
Yeah.
Oh, that thing. Yeah. All right. Moving on quickly. This is sad. This is about the human existence or this Jew's existence. Last week, I went through a sneezing fit. I snap off about sometimes 10, 15 sneezes in 90 seconds. And I was getting physically and otherwise fatigued of the sneezing. And so I sort of went into half a crouch. And I sneezed, and the next thing I know, I could not stand upright. I was suddenly bent into sort of a 45-degree angle, and I couldn't lower myself to the ground, nor could I stand upright. My back went out.
Yes.
From a sneeze. Road trip. Santa Monica, Florida. Guy whose wife is his best friend, or a guy who can't recover from 10 sneezes.
Dave complaining about how his back hurts the whole time. Like, I can't stand up. I can't lay down. What do you want me to do?
I'll take the shirtless guy who loves his
wife.
This
is true.
I pulled a muscle in my arm once scooping ice cream. Oh, like it was Jesus. Hard and I was digging into it with the spoon and like pulled something. I realized, could there be a less manly way to injure oneself other than with an ice cream scooper?
Now you've heard it. See, I've one-upped you. Fruzinglaja.
Yeah.
So I threw my back out to the point that I actually, this is crazy. I know you're not supposed to go to the emergency room unless it's an actual emergency. Mm-hmm. That's how grim it was. I could not move. I had to be basically helped to the car. And then once we got to the emergency room, it was late Sunday night. I had to be, they had to come and pull me out of the car and put me into a wheelchair because that's how destroyed I was.
New hypothetical.
Wow.
So yeah. It's, you know.
Especially outfitted van going to Florida.
Oh, boy.
It was just horrible. But that's my existence. You're a jerk, but it does bring me to the creep of the week.
Yes, it does.
Creep, creep, creep of the week, of the week. He or she is the creep of the week. Well, this back injury that had me laid up for the better part of a week overlapped with what was supposed to be an appearance here on the Adam Carolla Show. Right. I couldn't make it in, and I called Gary, and I said, Gary, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. I just don't think I can go. And he said, that's all right, buddy. We'll see you next week, okay? Yeah, we're jammed up anyway today. That's okay. Well, hopefully we'll see you in 7 days. Take care. Bye now. Hangs the phone up, and I thought, that's a shame. I hate to miss out on that. The next day, I find out that on the Adam Carolla Show, that day, Danielson LaRusso is in studio. You don't choose to tell me that? I would have called up Miyagi, Gary, to put the magic hands on me. Rub me right. Make it so. Make me better. Let me come in and see him. And by the way, why doesn't Miyagi use the magic hands a little bit sooner than when Danielson says, I need it for balance, Mr. Miyagi? How about the fact that he has a broken femur, you old man? How about that's enough of a standard to heal the teenager who's got a broken leg now to go along with his fragile heart that's been destroyed by a collection of karate kung fu doing bullies. And all of you, and go to Cobra Kai, Gary, because you're not just a villain, you're also the creep of the week. Don't call me. Machio's going to be here. You don't let me know?
Yeah, man.
Carrie, come and I would thank you to come and pick me up and carry me if need be. You don't mention that.
Wow,
Machio is here.
Give him something to think about.
He was really LaRusso. Nice.
What was
and
he
charming.
Like?
Oh, he's the best.
Sweet guy.
The
everything
best.
You dreamed, but a little more.
Yeah.
And humble. All right, real quick, and before we take a break,
who did he think his toughest foe was out of the three he fights?
He said alcoholism. Oh, that was off the air. Oh, probably shouldn't have said anything. Oh, yeah. I see the context now. Okay,
that makes sense.
We'll edit that out, Tom. 30, Philadelphia.
Ace man, what up?
What's going on?
Check, good to see you.
Yeah, man.
Good to see you too, Tom.
So, I saw on Facebook the other day, apparently your buddies, Bill Simmons and Kevin Hinch, are doing a podcast where they break down their 25 favorite Tom Brady, Bill Belichick moments.
Ugh. Christ. Yeah. I've been made aware of this.
People wonder why we hate Patriots fans. Is there a question anymore?
I know. Yeah.
So what I think would be kind of funny, now that Sheck is here, Ace, you should call your bookie, put a $100 bet on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, but call Simmons at the same time and put him on mute.
All right. Well, maybe Sal will be there and we can
have the conference call.
Is this specifically to put the whammy on the Patriots?
You guys don't understand whammy theory, though. The deal with the whammy is it can't be intentional whammy.
Yeah, you need to want to cash in.
The idea is to have me get punished, not to have them win.
Right.
You understand? So I can't do it volitionally or proactively. Right. That's not how the whammy god works.
Yeah. It's not whammy magic.
You feel me, Tom? Like, I have to do it with sincerity.
But it would still freak them out a little bit.
Yeah, I don't think they'd like it. But again, if it's done as a preemptive strike to stop the Patriots from getting to another Super Bowl, it won't work. It has to be heartfelt.
You have to want to win.
You know what they are? You know what the New England Patriots are?
You understand I took Atlanta and no money line.
Is that true?
I just took Atlanta straight up, and I said before the Super Bowl, if Atlanta wins, they're going to roll. They're going to win big. If the game's close, the Pats are going to win. And both things happen. Exactly. But you know how great I felt somewhere in the mid-third quarter or fourth quarter?
When Alford picks off Brady as he's running down the sideline and Brady, dignity falls out of his pocket as he dives helplessly after him.
Flails.
Running in.
Atlanta and the money
line. Yeah, they're going to lose this game still.
Atlanta and the money line I had on that. And they lost. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Painful.
If I remember correctly, I think I predicted it to a T, and I didn't even know what sport we were talking about.
No, that's why you get to do it.
Dave, you know what they are, though? Here's what the Patriots are, and I just thought of this. They are football's answer to, I can't think of the guy's name who always wins the hot dog eating contest.
Kobayashi.
Now it's Chestnut. Right.
All those guys, though. They all fall under the same thing. They're like the Patriots. Oh, fine. So they win, but it's joyless. They're eating wieners, but they're missing the point of it. The pleasure is, and I've always said this, I've advocated for that hot dog eating contest. You want to get in the foes' heads before you say, wait, hold on, before we start, I need a side of fries and, you know, imagine
a double chocolate shake.
You start mixing in, a shake and everything else. What? This guy's wild. Why? Because he has passion for what he's doing. These guys, they're older. What's their mantra? This is what a decade and a half is going to be remembered as, do your job. Well, that's a lot of fun. A lot of passion there.
I don't know all the rules with the hot dog eating competition over there, but did they allow gays to enter? Because I feel that's an unfair
advantage.
That's an un.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, right? They do drug testing.
Yeah, true.
In other sports. I mean, I'm not. I hope I don't sound too naive here, but I feel like that's a
question.
Huge advantage. That's just unfair.
I like the character that the
I'm asking. I want to because I want to know
the overly
because I
earnest
know.
Guy.
No, I'm genuinely
now,
curious.
Now, is that would that be?
Oh, Ernest Bigot.
I love that movie series.
They're faster because they have a different muscle in their thigh, right? I want to know. I just want to know. I'm not.
By all means, correct me
if
I'm wrong.
That's a great new character you've stumbled into.
And that
there.
Muscle holds them down when they get in the pool, right? They can't.
Yeah, they're dense bones.
I don't know the answer.
I'm asking is what I'm saying. Ernest Bigot. And it could be Ernest Bigot goes to Vegas. Yeah. Ernest Bigot goes
Ernest
to Alabama.
Goes to Super Bowl.
Goes to Selma. Ernest Bigot. Hey, Vern! Ernest Bigot, I flap That's open great. The windows of my kitchen. Hi, Vern! Ernest Bigot here. They have questions. So Mexicans have their own language, right? And they read, right?
Why are you getting angry? I'm just asking
a
question.
I want to know. Mexicans write stuff down, right? Like they have their language, but it's in a book too, right? Or do they not read? I don't know.
I've never been there. How would I?
They have grades higher than 9. Is that true or not true? I want to know. I'm asking. Ernest Bigot.
That's right.
Ernest Bigot.
Excellent.
And then we'd do the whole thing.
He has an open mind.
We'd go right with the Hey Vern guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ernest Bigot goes to jail.
Jim Varney?
Yeah, Jim Varney.
I think he passed.
Oh, no, he's gone.
Yeah.
I'm playing the role. Ernest Bigot. I'm the new Ernest.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right? And we do one of those things, right? Ernest J. Bigot. Like, we give me a middle initial, so it throws everyone off a little bit. You know Ernest J. Bigot, don't you? And then I do stuff when I meet like an Asian. I put my hand to the side and go, can you see this? No, I want to know. I'm asking. I'm just asking questions. And we have me hit all the different nationalities. We travel. We do like a, we do like the old Bob Hope type road trip stuff with Ernest. Gary, figure out all the Ernest movies. I think he went to prison at a certain point.
Yeah, go to jail. Yeah,
He goes to jail. And Ernest Bigot, Ernest J. Bigot will go to the same places.
Does he go to a synagogue and check the Jews for horns?
Yes, he wants to know.
You want me to read you off the list of places he went?
Yeah,
go with this.
He went to camp. He saved Christmas. He went to jail. He was scared stupid. He rides again. Goes to school. Slam dunk, Ernest. Ernest goes to Africa. Ernest in the army. And there's another one here that's an unnamed cameo. I don't think it applies.
Ernest J. Bigot
goes to concentration camp.
Oh, sure.
I love it.
He's international.
All right. all right. But, Gene, do you know how to answer the question with the hot dog eating competition?
I think they'll probably do okay, but I think it's probably even because you don't tend
to. But they don't check, is what I'm saying.
Right. But I also don't think they tend to bite it off. You know?
Hot dog?
Right. I'm just, but for the competition.
They have to.
Look.
They don't check.
They don't check.
Okay.
All right.
If it's a stupid question, then tell me.
I get it.
The aside, I like the aside checking with a friend. Like, do you understand what's, because I just was asking, do you have any opinion on it?
Sidebar.
Because I, did you see how angry? Because I was just trying to find out something. I thought that that was.
All right. Two more quickies. Tim. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
37, Seattle.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, man?
God, hey, guys. Hey, gang. I want to say, first off, Adam, I always do your best, and I fucking kill it at life. Thank you for that.
Yeah, man.
Hey, it's the irony that you guys are just talking about that. I've been writing a stage joke about a gay guy winning the Nathan's hot dog eating contest because, you know, he doesn't have to chew. He just swallows the dog's whole. And
now, hold on. Is this true? Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm a gay guy. I probably could. And yes, I was writing a stage joke about it and wondering if they would make rules about stuffing them in your rectum.
You should feel 10 to 15% worse about your committed premise now.
Right?
Yeah. Right? Ernest J. Bigot is not abide by this.
Why in what world, no matter your sexual preference, would it be acceptable in a hot dog eating contest to put the wiener into your tush?
Well, what about ribs? I mean, Oh, no, wait a minute.
That's actually worse.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No, they don't. Okay, I'm sorry. Wow, had a weird little brain fart there. Well, wait a minute. If your brain can fart, why can't you put hot dogs in?
Right.
Thanks, Tim. How's the stand-up going, man? How's the stand-up going?
So I ended up, you guys were talking about getting a vasectomy at a young age. I ended up getting my vasectomy when I was 30. And I did it specifically because of you and Dr. Drew and something you guys have been talking about for years.
I pictured more as an intervention. Like, picture him coming home from work and a lot of family members and neighbors standing around. We've heard the jokes about keistering the hot dogs, Tim. And
your attempt,
look, we're not saying you need to go somewhere, but the idea of you spreading that seed around with that kind of fertile imagination is probably not. I mean, we're in the Seattle area. We're not looking for more of that. We're not looking for more of you. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
Let's
so we've gathered around. This is Dr. Higginstaller here. He's certified. Doctor, maybe now's time to get out the dry erase board and talk a little bit to Tim. Or
if that's the kind of talk you want to make, go catch up with your friend Ernest J. Bigot. I'm sure he'll...
Yeah. Tim, all right, so it was your idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, you guys always talked about people who were traumatized as a kid repeating their trauma, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so as a kid, I had a lot of sexual abuse, and as I got older... I was having problems, and I was worried that I was going to do something I didn't want to do. I couldn't trust myself around, you know, teenage girls. So I ended up deciding.
Hold on, I never thought it says, but can we get back to the keistering of the Nathan's talk already? It's taking a turn. All right, go ahead, Tim. Sorry to make it go rough,
but I decided not to have kids because of you and Dr. Drew, and you guys were right. You know, this was could have been a real problem. I didn't want to be a monster, so I was just like,
wait a minute.
I'm not going to have kids.
You didn't want to have kids because you were going to be a horrible dad or because you were going to come on to their friends when they were older?
No, No, because I was afraid that maybe I would have problems with my, like, I might do things to my kids.
No, I don't think. I think if that's what your thought is, you're not going to do things to your kids.
You're hyper-aware.
He's had the vasectomy now.
I mean, you made the right choice. You would have been a rapist.
Yeah. You can have it reversed, right?
Well, I was worried about that. That was a real concern. And it took me convincing my urologist, you were talking about, is it hard to get it when you're young? Well, I was 30, and he obviously tried to talk me out of it, And I gave them my reasoning and went through counseling, and they decided, hey, you know what? This is probably a good choice. And I was able to get it after jumping through some hoops when I was young.
The DB, Cromartie, has had this and still been able to crap out a 17th and 18th kid,
yeah.
I think.
Antonio, yeah.
Antonio. Sport, yeah. All right, Tim. Well, I'm sorry about your past, but I'm happy about your future.
But you're hopeful about his coming.
Well, I want to thank you guys. You know, your voice actually makes a difference. People do listen, man.
Well, thank you, seriously. Tim. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. Listen every day.
Don't put a wiener in your anus.
Oh, please.
Easy, buddy.
Hey, Ronnie, 45,
that was his big
Corona.
Idea. He's the one who brought it up.
You got a question for me?
Dude?
Oh, you.
And hey man, it's good talking to you, Ace. I missed you, man.
I've been worrying about you
because when I listen to your show, I listen with the hypervigilance like you do. I pay attention to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about a couple months ago, maybe it's been a week, and these dudes were rolling down your street in like a beater kind of Civic car, like a Jeep car.
Yeah.
And then they rolled up. Yeah. Uh huh. And they rolled up to you, and you had nothing but
nothing
but Philly, man. I know, and Philly won't do nothing. So I'm out of goodness of my heart, because I consider you one of my very best mentors.
Mm-hmm.
I ask you and Gina both, because she talked about her little shocker she's got that she says will scare somebody away.
Yeah.
See, I've gotten drunk before and shocked myself with the best ones you can get, and they don't do anything.
Yeah,
I want you to start concealing a weapon, dude. I think the time is right for that.
If I carried a concealed weapon, I would have killed myself earlier today. That's my biggest problem with it. It's not I'm going to shoot the neighbor kid by mistake, or I'm going to shoot the guy who I thought he was a criminal, but he turned out he was drunk and he thought he was breaking into his house. He broke into my house.
See, the
I would kill myself. Like I literally
intentionally or involuntarily.
It would be intentional, but if you gave me the weekend to think about it, I don't think I would have. It'd be an impulse buy.
Right.
I'd buy that bullet in an impulsive fashion. I was just over at the other shop having a complete meltdown about why people couldn't put shit away and how come they wouldn't listen to me and why stuff ends up everywhere. And I probably would have eaten a bullet at that particular point. So, Ronnie.
I think you've got more control than that, Corolla.
I don't know. Also,
don't you?
I think I kill myself several times a week. That's my concern.
I mean, dude, your guy just crashed your front bumper on your brand new Jack and you didn't even punch him. I mean, you got tons of self-control.
You know what I don't? Here's what I don't have. And thank you. Thank you, Ronnie. Okay. If you want to know how I'm wired, yes. my son threw a Nerf ball. It hit the Man Show sign, the neon sign, which I'd spent a lot of money and time reconditioning, and busted it
and
all.
It's giant. It's like 5 feet, right?
One's a 5 footer. The other one's like trash can lid size, like 3 foot. And he busted it. And, I didn't care because he threw a football, made a mistake, what have you. And,
my dad would have whooped my ass.
Yeah. You would have had it coming, but Sonny, he can do no wrong. Nick scraped up the front of my new Jag, and I don't care because he made a mistake. He was driving us to the airport. He misjudged the curb just by a millimeter. Got scuffed. I do not mind mistakes. Rob, who I've had the conversation at the other shop, could you please put the goddamn stuff where it goes? Like, please put it away. Just put it away. Don't unload it. Don't set it on the ground. Don't leave it for a week. Just put it away. I just had conversation. I had a conversation with him an hour ago where I was like, please tell me the words that I can say to you that will get you to engage in this behavior. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else I can. I cannot verbally combine the words in such a fashion that you will actually do this thing I'm paying you to do, which is you get paid by the hour. Please stop whatever you're doing and put the stuff away, because the other shop just has stuff. It's just one of these things where you go, we need subfloor adhesive. I think I got it. I'll bring what we have. And they show up with 2.5 tubes. And you go, don't we have more? And they go, that's all I could find. And then at some point a week later, you pull a drawer open and it's all filled with subfloor adhesive. And you're like, we need to know where this stuff is. There's 80 cars with 80 different engines and parts like spread out everywhere. And all I do is tell these guys, stop, take your time, put the stuff away. Everything's labeled. All the shelves are there. We have storage containers. Just put it away, but don't leave it in the middle of everything for me to trip on. And by the way, if it's been there for a week, I will have a meltdown. Just stop where you are and put it away. And they cannot, they will and cannot do it. They can't do it. It's a kind of a dumb that you should hope your kid never, ever has, but they cannot honor it. And I was like yelling at him, like, since we've talked about this 61 times, what shall we do from this point? Are you admitting that you're incapable of this? Because this is not trigonometry. This is simply putting stuff where it goes in sort of real time. When you unload it from the truck, put it where it goes. Don't put it down and then leave and then say you'll get to it next week and you never do. I would kill myself if I had a gun earlier today, because I cannot impart that. I can't. There's a weird sort of chaos that people bring with them, which is, this is who I am. This is what you're going to get. Right. And it's like, that's not who I am. And I don't mind that you're that way with your apartment or your van or whatever else you are. But when you're here, you need to be at work this way, not your way. And it's like, I got chaos in my head. That's the way I do it. What is that? And what is that inability? And what is the inability after literally 41 out loud, just do it. Just put it away. Don't ever set it down. Just do it. Just take your time. Don't come on Sundays. Do it in the middle of the workday. Just while you're getting paid. Just go put it where
we've
it goes.
We've talked about, like, there is now more than there ever has been that I can, it sounds curmudgeonly. A lot of these kids. But really, it feels to me in the last 15 years or so that there is a full embrace of vanity and or narcissism. Everybody is entitled to that, and ergo, you're allowed to not absorb those instructions, even though they're from your boss.
Of my boss telling me the same thing 2.5 times would have been painful.
Right. It's not just an objective, well, the boss is in charge kind of thing. There's that somehow the way it hits your ear. Well, I think the other way, and they can't muster the energy or something to tell you, like, Ace, here's what we're doing. That they can't give you a meaningful reason why they're not going to do it, but somehow it doesn't, they are obtuse. I don't understand why, but it has something to do with that personal vanity that everybody's entitled to now.
Oh.
You mentioned the kind of dumb you should never hope your kids are.
Yes.
The kind of dumb you should hope your kids are, if they're dumb, Forrest Gump dumb.
Yes.
Because Forrest was dumb, objectively a dumb person, but he was eminently trainable. He could put together the rifle in record time. Yeah. He could return kicks. He knew how to do that. He could do anything.
Great in the army.
Yeah. Yep. Ernest J. Forrest Gump. Bigot.
Esquire.
They do, Gary, come up with the creamer. Pull up that creamer picture. I was looking for some cream, some real cream in the coffee
other
day. I pulled everything out of the fridge, and I just thought, are you guys, I would have killed myself yesterday at this time. I believe that the cold version of, Mountain Dew is the chilled version of Nectar of the Tards, and all the Swiss Delight, mocha, infusion, hazelnut, all that is the warm Nectar of the Tards. You read the ingredients, the first thing says water. So you're adding something to your coffee, and the first ingredient on the substance you're adding to your coffee is water. The second is corn syrup, after that's like canola oil. I've explained these guys 250 times. Look, here's what I know. I don't want to be insulting, but here's what I know.
But
I don't know that this shit makes you fucking dumb. I don't know if it makes you dumb. But I don't know a smart person who uses it. So you decide.
Which team
you
are
decide.
You on?
You want to fucking roll the hazelnut dice? Would you like to get dumber than you are? Keep going with the hazelnut.
I don't understand, though, because what we're looking at is a picture. There are six things.
Read them off if you can,
Gina Grad.
Right. Well, that's what's in the one and only fridge at the shop.
Not six of them.
I use cream. I just use regular cream. Vinny Tortor said, use cream or use half and half. Know. And that's what I do. The punch in the groin is there's two powdered versions.
That's like, what I'm looking at.
In case there's a nuclear holocaust and we can't go to the Safeway to get our liquid poison, we have powder. This will last us through the year.
And the best part is there are six bottles, 2, 4. I believe 4 out of the 6 are hazelnut.
That's correct.
Okay. So we have 4 hazelnut, 1 French vanilla, and then a 14-gallon drum of horchata flavored.
Which I find culturally offensive on so many different levels. And
who's the hazelnut
I
freak?
Don't know. I tell them all the time, this is for stupid people. This is for stupid people who don't like coffee. Because coffee is a flavor, and this is another flavor. And you're putting this flavor into your coffee. It's for dumb people. It's for the people who want cheese in their pizza crust. Just dumb. For dumb people. Please just buy some cream. And by the way, guess who pays for all this stuff?
Oh, I'm sure they
guess
each...
Guess who underwrites it?
Oh, I'm sure they each pay for their own.
Now, because you have the dope... who's hooked on hazelnuts, going and doing the shopping, then guess who pays for it and guess who doesn't get any cream because these guys don't like cream in their coffee. These are the same. I want to find an island. When I'm in charge, we're taking an island, not the misfit toys. Mm-hmm. It's the toys of people. It's the guys who prefer Mrs. Butterworth syrup with the imitation maple flavor versus real maple syrup in a glass bottle from Trader Joe's, and it's a product of Canada.
Right.
The canned cranberry as opposed
what
to
is
the
connection
sauce.
Lousy taste buds are generally in the same mouth as a bad brain. A dumb person is the one who ingests those weird flavors. Why is that a connection?
I like country crock better than butter. I just do. It tastes better to me. And don't give me the, whether it's a horrible song or fake margarine and synthesized syrup, don't give me the, my mom used to put it on the Eggos when I was 9. Right. We used to eat boogers. Some people ate paste. Never masturbated. There's a whole bunch of stuff that was done or wasn't done when I was 9 that I've gotten away from. I never drove a Lamborghini. Now I'm not 9 anymore, and I have a Lamborghini. It's not, hey, I had this Tonka truck when I was 9, and now I drive around like Grape Ape in my Tonka truck. Yes, we get it, dumb person. A dumber person, meaning your mom or dad, dumped this shit on your waffles when you were 9. Now you're 39. Could we drop this?
And you did the shopping. Yeah. Ostensibly.
What else? Oh, you did math at what grade level? All right, let me hit you on the head with a frying pan and see if we can get you down to that. Like, yes, I get it. You were 9. You did things. You ate TV dinners. You ate crunch berries. Like, there's a whole bunch of... You like certain songs. Like, I get it. You like the Wiggles or whatever. Now you're not. Can we drop it? Yeah. Or do we have to go... I was really stupid and young. Now I'm old and stupid, and I need things to remind me of how young and stupid I was.
That's right. Dumb people are afraid of change, and I wonder if they do they try? That's the question. Do they have the authentic maple syrup to say, oh, well, you know what? That is much better. I should eat that. You know, that is the better way to go.
Here's
or
what
do
dumb
they just
people
refuse?
Here's what dumb people do. Dumb people love repetition, and they love familiarity.
Yep. Sure.
So they do what dogs do. Dog eats the same kibble, happier this day than the next day, every single day of their life. They don't care. They want to taste familiar. You give them real maple, that doesn't taste familiar to them. Hence, it's not doesn't taste familiar good, it doesn't taste familiar bad.
And you know what? You know what flavor, quote unquote, they always say when they try something better or more sophisticated? It's bitter. It's bitter.
Oh. I don't know why. The person, when you take a bite of something and it's not bad at all, And then the person, you go, you try it. And they go, no, I don't, I'm not, it's going to be too zesty for me. And you go, it's not even zesty at all. Like, I don't like hot food. It's not even hot. Look, I'll take another bite. It's not hot. It's going to be hot. And I'm really sensitive to hot. And I can't, I don't eat Indian. I don't eat Mexican. Just take a bite. It's good. And then they start biting it. And in the middle of the bite, they're like, oh. And you're like, oh, shut up. You had that all worked out.
You know,
you don't have a gear where you taste it and go, it's not bad.
I like that the exact 180 degree opposite of that is a smart guy, Kimmel, who did the opposite of that when you're like, this chowder is terrible. No. You're just not refined enough to know how good it is.
That was the greatest.
And he eats it and makes himself feel sick.
He ate it. Everyone ate it.
I ate it too.
Everybody. I mean, you want to talk about insane.
But he went back for a second. He ate yours when you said, no, there's something wrong.
You want to talk about insane timing. Food poisoning, and I mean, anyone who's had real food poisoning, you're just a fire hydrant out of your ass and throwing up. I mean, it is comical, and there is much like...
And you're helpless.
Much like Sheck sneezing. There's no, you got to get a gurney because you do more than three sneezes in a row, and you got to go under the knife. And what I'm saying is when you have food poisoning, you can't soldier on. It's not like you go, well, I have food poisoning, but I'm still going into work, or I'm still gonna drive competitively, or something like
that.
There's nothing, whatever it does, it's like some sort of a horrible magic wand. Yeah. Somebody hits you, just knocks you down, and shit's comes flying out of your ass. Like, there's nothing you can do. We had lunch at the Man Show. I think it was about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Food poisoning takes right on about 8-10 hours to kick in. You don't, in the movies, you take a shot of something like, oh boy. No, in real food poisoning, you eat dinner and you wake up at 4 a.m. Right. And you're a mess. And I've talked to Dr. Drew about this. Yeah, it takes a good 8-10 hours to cultivate. We were going out to the Spearmint Rhino in the City of Industry that night, very Man Show story, for a bachelor party. We chartered a party bus. They had tainted the chowder. Yeah, they sharded a party bus. The chowder was tainted. It was tainted. It was bad.
You ate strip club chowder?
No.
At the lunch. Do the math.
O'clock. Okay, all right.
Come on, Gina. We got an 8 to 10 hour all nesting right, okay. period.
All right.
We had lunch
for a long time.
We had lunch at we had lunch about 1 or 2. And we finished our last Man Show taping at like 6 or 7. Okay. And then we piled into the bus and we headed out to Spearmint Rhino. So by the time we got there, 8-10 o'clock, it was germinating, but it wasn't quite there yet. But guys were like, I got a little gas or whatever it was. Now, it was chowder. I took a bite. Everyone loves chowder. Everyone loves clam chowder. I took a bite of it and I leaned back and went, something's wrong with this chowder. And of course, Jimmy, chowder expert, dove in and had to explain to me why I was wrong. He's like, no, chowder's fine. I said, it tastes off. Like, it tastes weird to me. This tastes weird. Doesn't it taste weird to you? And he said, smoked oysters. They smoked them. That's why it tastes weird to you.
Common practice with the clam chowder.
But it's good. And I remember thinking, I've never had clam chowder with smoked oysters, but hey, you help prepare the food, so you must... Oh, no, wait a minute. You were standing actually on stage, but somehow, you know. So I remember going, well, I love chowder. I love the idea of smoked oysters in my chowder. I like smoked oysters.
Clam chowder.
I like the idea of it.
Sure.
And the guy got sitting next to me, he's just lapping it up. So I took another hit off it. And I like would lean back and go, it still tastes weird, but now your brain is
adjusting.
Shamed you into it.
Right,
he shamed me, and I was like, classless girl.
All right, I'm going to try another hit off this. I tried another hit, and I just kept thinking with every hit, it was weird. And it didn't taste right, but the smoke part, it's hard to argue with the smoked clam. Everyone ate it. And I got to tell you, when that bus pulled up in front of the Man Show at like 2:30 in the a.m., people just like someone yelled, there's a bomb in this bus. Like, we flew out of that bus
it
and
was
people
horrible.
Like crapping into shrubs and like I mean, people were exploding.
I think at some point Sal dumped orange juice on me, so I had that also mixed into the experience. And I remember DeLuca was there, and I don't remember who else. For some reason, in the city industry, decided at 2 o'clock in the morning it would be a good idea. They'd always wanted to jump on a freight train or whatever you call those and see what that experience is like instead of taking the bus home. And they jumped on, like, you know, like something out of
a
movie.
To go ride the rails. Like, there's a
like Midnight Run
industrial
get
train.
It! They jump onto a train, and now there like goes DeLuca and the other guy.
Yeah, 24 hours.
Probably Elvis and DeLuca. But I just remember thinking, all right. But when you're a guy, it's awesome.
That's up.
Let's see him Monday.
Did Jimmy have to? Did he try to soldier? Like, it's fine, guys. I don't, like, I was seen from Bridesmaids.
There Bridesmaids. Is no.
Like, he had to admit there was something wrong.
You can't not.
Yeah.
As previously discussed, there is no stiff upper lip in food poisoning.
But he
there's
didn't
just
even
a
try
droopy
to save
sphincter.
Face.
By the way, Dawson made his chowder with cottage cheese.
How can you save? You can't save face when you're like running for the toilet. So is everybody. Like, and nobody wasn't running
for the
toilet.
People at the strip club were doing that. And those toilets, believe me, I'm an uneasy person. I don't, you know, that's not
no
my
worse
scene.
Worse lap dance.
Those bathrooms.
Hey, everybody. Where is everybody? They're all in the bathroom. They're all in the. Where's Shelly? Oh, sorry. Oh, shells. Yeah, I got it. Seafood. Was anybody out? Everyone's on the commode. All right. Hey, make sure and tip the Ethiopian guy a ton of dough when you're in there. And Jake, stay seven. All
we
right.
The dressing room. The girls are like,
man,
oh.
My ride.
DeLuca runs out.
Everybody's got your to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance and you don't have to do anything but go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Put that extra money in your pocket. Get yourself a nice can of Progresso soup, huh? No, you know it's safe. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes. Could be saving 15% on your auto insurance or more at Geico. All right, let's see. We'll take a quick break. I'll tell you guys the podcast, the Dave Damaschek Football Program. New episodes every Tuesday and Thursday on iTunes. Also at Facebook.com/Damaschek and the website, NFL.com/DB.
Off I go. As soon as... Thanks, Ace. As soon as I walk out of here, I'm jumping in the car and I'm driving off to see your Los Angeles Rams at training camp against your Los Angeles Chargers.
Nice.
I think we're seeing, I think your cousin Sal and me are going with the kids on Saturday night to watch a preseason game.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think you could probably go if you'd like to tag along. Sal says he's getting a bunch of tickets.
Is that right? To see the Rams or the Chargers?
Rams Cowboys.
Rams Cowboys.
Oh, awesome. How cool.
Pencil it in, man. Jerry Rocha, comedian. I'm saying Rocha right? Right. All right. We'll bring him in right after this.
Eastman Guitars presents the Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour, August 22nd in Santa Barbara, California, with Loxy. Baby, let's roll and get it. Tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com. Now the pretty girls start to look the same. And comedy with your host, Matt Edgar.
Hi, you working high at Chevron?
Yeah.
Good to know, dude. Now I know where to get my weed and gas. I'll put 20 on 10 and 20 on a 10.
And special guest, Taylor Morgan.
And I remember when I got my first check for acting. The check said right on it, actor's fee. And I showed a friend of mine, I was like, you know, I really want to frame it because it's the first one, but I sort of need the $50. And he said, no way, you frame it. I will give you the $50. Which I thought was so nice. So I showed another friend, I was like, you know, really, frame it.
The Corolla Drinks Comedy and Music Tour at Soho Restaurant and Music Club. Follow on Twitter at SohoSB. Sponsored by Eastman Guitars. Visit EastmanGuitars.com. Loxy and the Smokin' Kills. Plus Matt Edgar and Taylor Morgan. Tuesday, August 22nd. Get your tickets now at CorollaDrinks.com.
You heard Spike's Car Radio? It's comedian, actor, writer Spike Ferriston sitting on the porch in Malibu talking with some cool people about cool cars and life in general.
My first guest is Jerry Seinfeld. He's right here. He was all right. Don't try to hug him.
Chris Hardwick.
I could feel everything on the road. I mean, it was basically like, it was like unprotected sex for driving.
Jeremy Piven.
You know what? I think you and Jerry are spiritually tied to cars, and I respect it and I love it, but I don't quite get it yet, but I want to get it.
Download new episodes of Spike's Car Radio every Wednesday on the Podcast One app, or save time and subscribe now at Apple Podcasts or at PodcastOne.com.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Joliet, Illinois. Two 23-year-old men got into a fight at a bar, which led to one chasing the other into a Walmart parking lot, where he pulled a bow and arrow from the trunk of his car and fired it at the other man. His car was a Saturn! Definitely not a Jew!
Jerry Rocha in studio. Stand-up Jerry Rocha. I'll tell you about his dates. Good to see you, Jerry.
Thank you for having me.
Speaking of Jews, you and I suffer from the same thing, which is you're Mexican.
Yep.
I'm Italian. But when you make the move into comedy, you're mistaken for a Jew.
Every time. I'm like a day walker of Mexicans. I can go where the others can't, I guess. I don't know. Like, it's very interesting. But yeah, like, it's nobody believes me.
I didn't need to ask him about it. I simply looked down the page. Born in Texas, never knew his father. Now we're on very shaky Jewish ground here with the born in Texas, never knew his dad. So now all roads lead to Mexico.
Yeah, absolutely. That's where it converges. Absolutely.
You work with Fluffy.
Sure.
Gabriel Iglesias, who I got a buddy, Kevin Hench, is actually doing a project with him, who just loves Gabriel.
He's a great dude.
He loves Mangria.
He loves Mangria, but as Kevin was describing to me the other day, loves his fans,
yeah.
Stays behind every show, takes a picture with everyone, shakes everyone's hand, and
really
I said,
cool.
You know what? He's the guy who gave me the tip, which is hire the photographer. Or get the fan photographer to come out, because you have to go through 300 or 500 people at the end of the show, and yep. Everyone's handing their camera off to your boy. It takes hours.
Yeah,
get a photographer.
It's such a great system, and they can print up the pictures almost immediately. It's a really good deal that he does.
So how did you meet, and what brought you to L.A.? And The Gentleman is the name of the special. It's available now on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll give you some dates, but how did the journey work for you?
So I just grew up in Dallas, started doing comedy there right out of high school. I was like, you know, I don't want to go to college. I was like in community college for like 4 weeks, and I'm like, nah, this is stupid. And then so I knew what I wanted to do, so I just started going to open mics, and that was it. And then just made the move to New York for a little bit, and then came out to LA.
Do you feel like, as a comic, it's sort of a stupid question, but I grew up in North Hollywood. I did comedy, but North Hollywood is such a vacuum of creativity. I felt like I needed a place to work out. Like,
sure.
I needed that little club that was mine, you know, that I could go to and
absolutely.
Get time on. But when you're from the Valley, it's weird. You can't. And then there's a comedy store, but Richard Pryor's playing.
Right.
Like, so, well, it's like, where was your place?
That was the benefit of starting out in the middle of nowhere, like as far as entertainment goes, you know, because Dallas is a major market, but it's not a mecca for entertainment, you know. Right. So there was a lot of rooms that you did kind of made them your own, you know, and it was, you kind of had that fearlessness of, okay, the bookers like me, so I don't have to kill, you know, I can actually go up here and work out stuff and it's fun. There's a few rooms like that. There was the Hyenas clubs that were great like that, the Improv out there. And this place sounds like a gay bar, but it's called The Back Door. That's where I started. It was like this comedy club in a back room. And like, that's right.
Oh, they, same company that runs Mr. Fister, I think. Yeah. And so how did you hooking up with Gabriel work?
So I just, a couple of people who knew him, Cristela Alonso and Alfred Robles, two of his two people who knew Gabe well at the time. They both kind of said, hey, I think you would like this guy. And they just showed him a YouTube clip of mine and he dug it. And so he had me go on the road with him. And then he approached me about producing this special. And I was like, yeah, dude, let's do it. So
tell me that experience. I've never gone on the road with anyone or brought anyone on the road with me, but it always, anytime I see an HBO special about it, looks awesome.
It is.
Everyone's having go-kart races all day and then going out and doing 18 minutes and then drinking beers all night.
That's pretty much it. I mean, we'd pull up into a town, we'd find the fun thing to do, and then we'd go do it, and then we would do the show, and you just live on a tour bus, and it was great. And but it was only like, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you fly back home Sunday, and then you repeat the process. And
there's an interesting freedom, which is, if you just go to strange towns and do stuff that sounds like fun and then go home, you're a huge loser. If you just go, hey, there's got to be a good water park in Portland somewhere, doesn't there? And then you just turn around and go home, you're a loser. But in comedy, you work that night. You're there to work.
Right.
But there's literally nothing, you know, if you think about like your good times,
right,
so much of it can be tainted by, I should be working on this, or I should be doing that, but I've chosen to do this instead. But it kind of taints it a little. But when you're out of town, you have this freedom of there is nothing to do.
It's amazing.
It's 10 in the morning. I don't step on the stage until 8 p.m. And there is nothing to do. And so thus we can see all the matinees, go to all the go-kart tracks, go eat all the soft swirl ice cream we want.
So you're saying I would be a loser if tomorrow I just drive to St. Louis to see the Museum of the Expansion of the West and then drive back home.
You got to do a gig.
That was fun all by myself. And yeah, did you get laid? Nah, didn't even get laid. Nah,
well, it's weird. I don't see matinees because I'm incredibly busy and I always feel like, oh, I got something else to do and I should be doing it and I can't just do that. It's the middle of the week, whatever. But for the like 2 years I went on the road with Mike August, I never saw more matinees because you're just in Denver.
Yeah.
And
killing time.
That's all you. I mean, how many times can you go to a mall, you know? And it's like, might as well just go start watching movies or, you know, like that's what you do.
But like, maybe I also would discover like what I think everyone else is doing at the mall, because I go to the mall. If you go to the mall out here or just wherever, when I go to the mall once a year and I walk and my daughter drags me there or something, but I walk around, I always kind of think like, what's everyone doing? Mm-hmm. Like, what are we doing here? Like, how much time are we spending? What's going on? Do you really think that the weather's going to be in style in a year?
Like, why do you care this much?
What are we all milling about? Yeah. But when you travel, you'll go to the mall.
That's your haven.
And you just wander around like, oh, look, I'll kill time. Maybe we'll buy some sneakers or something. We'll get something to eat. We'll eat horrible Chinese food or see a really bad movie. But we'll just mill about the mall. But maybe that's what those people are doing here.
I was in Edmonton recently doing a gig up there at the comic strip, and it's like the biggest mall in North America is there. And that's where the club is in. So that's all you did all day. And it was kind of nice because it was this massive mall that you would, there was like basketball tournaments in the mall. Like they had like a little league hockey tournament.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Well, it was a two-story mall. So the rink was on floor one, and all the people watching on floor one were like, you know, the parents who were cheering the kids up. But like, it was weird because all the people on the, dude, those were all the pervs. Like it was all these weird, like that was their fetish of just, I want to watch an 8-year-old play hockey. You know what I mean? And there's like creepos. It was like a very, like you say, it was like, they just drove up to watch that. You're just a loser. You know, like it was you really see the best people watching just going to malls 100%.
You end up at one of those like REIs and you're like, this backpack has a compass built into it. I feel like
this could really benefit my lifestyle.
That. I mean, like when I'm flying Southwest and like we're heading northeast and you're like, are we really? Because according to my backpack, like you start looking at stuff like you go, I should redo my tennis shoes with those kind of strings that you don't have to tie.
Yeah, the coiled.
The coil ones. Yeah. That'd be a time saver. Yeah. How much are those?
The bachelor party I just went to in Memphis. The activity for Saturday. What are you doing Saturday, fellas? We're going to the Bass Pro Shop.
What?
It's in the Memphis Pyramid. It's gigantic.
It's the biggest one in the world.
It's the Memphis Pyramid. Used to be, I think, University of Memphis' basketball arena. Now it's a Bass Pro Shop, and it's enormous with the alligator pits over here and a restaurant in the middle, restaurant at the top. It's a theme park.
I have one complaint about that.
And I really enjoyed it.
They should have done it like a real pyramid and have like the remains of whoever founded the Bass Pro Shop. It's like in it. You know what I mean? Like he's there. Like
that's amazing.
Yeah, there it is.
I want to live there.
And I found several things for Tessa. a camouflage onesie.
Oh, she needs that.
Dude, you're there long enough, I'll be like, you know what? Maybe I could play Frisbee golf. All right, let me buy these things. Let me see. Yeah. Like, that's what you'd get into. Just the, you know, just the saddest sports you would start thinking you could be great at.
I am amazed that in this day and age of buying everything on the internet, like I always said, the only brick and mortar stores that will be left will be stores that sell brick and mortar, because you can't order bricks and mortar on the internet.
Shipping's, you can't illegally download that.
But the Bass Pro Shop flies in the face of this. Like, it's so huge. And they're selling, lures.
It's an attraction in and of itself.
I guess they figured it out.
Yep. Go big, man. I think
I'm not a hunter or a fisher or a fisherman. I think a lot of those things are tactile. You want to see how the rod and the reel feel in your hands and all of those things.
So what you're saying is we're not that far from every Barnes & Noble having like a paintball arena like in the middle of, like, you know, might as well. Hey. We got to stay alive. So
Where's Fiction? By the gator pit. Watch out. We haven't put the rope up yet.
A little hungry. Mama's upset.
All right. Should we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
News with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Let's start with some news that's very near and dear, Adam, to your heart and everyone who loves this show and loves podcasts. The patent trolls that you had to deal with for so many years have hit a roadblock. So TechCrunch reports that a year after taking up the case, the U.S. Courts of Appeals has ruled in favor of the Electronic Frontier Foundation in its challenge against podcasting patent troll personal audio. The decision is a massive relief for a lot of podcasts which have been threatened with lawsuits by personal audio for a number of years. You, of course, number one in their crosshairs. It's also part of the EFF, that's the Electronic Frontier Foundation, their larger ongoing fight against an overly broad tech patent. And the organization doesn't mince words. Daniel Nazir, who's been working closely on the case, is EFF's, quote, Mark Cuban chair to eliminate stupid patents. The case involves personal audio's broad patent for a, quote, system of disseminating media content representing episodes in a serialized sequence, which the company used to levy suits against a number of podcasts like The Adam Carolla Show, How Stuff Works, CBS, NBC. The EFF filed a petition challenging the patent in 2013, urging the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office to take another look at the broad ruling. They won in 2015. Personal Audio appealed the ruling roughly this time last year, but today's decision keeps things as is. And if Personal Audio decides to keep fighting, the next stop is the Supreme Court, who, by the way, has thousands of cases vying to be heard, and there's only about 80 slots. So meanwhile, on the Corolla Digital front, the surplus of funds left over from your fight will be presented to Mark Cuban and the EFF so they can continue their fight against these kinds of trolls. So a lot of really cool news.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about just what percentage of your life is wasted on just nothing. Mm-hmm. Just nothing. Like, you find out you're getting sued by patent troll. You say, that can't be right. We didn't do anything wrong.
I didn't
know
that douchebag was still going either. Yeah. I had no idea.
Then you go, well, you can't ignore it. You have to lawyer up. Then you have to hire lawyers out of northern Texas or wherever they right. do their business over there.
But at least it's
then,
free. Oh, wait.
Then you start getting bills. I mean, where do you guys get a bill for, like, what's the last 2 weeks? $86,000. Oh, those God. Are the billable hours. What did they work on? Oh, for the last 2 weeks, they were working on a change of venue. They're trying to get it moved from Lubbock to North Hollywood. Okay, so we owe him the 86 for that? Yeah. Okay, so did we... All right, so we're moving to L.A.? The judge struck it down. Okay, so I just paid him $86,000 for their attempt to try to get the trial moved to where we are?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the judge said no. So...
We're back square one.
So you can pay him. Now, here's the good news. You just pay him two payments of $43,000. And you're like, but I don't even know what we're really talking. What are we even talking about? I don't. How could they possibly win? They can't win. Well, maybe they can. Maybe they can. But they're suing you. I go through versions of this weekly. Like, not being sued by a patent troll. But I just mean versions of, like... Look, we're just going to do this. It's fine. Everything. We need it in writing. And then you got to present. It's like, you just, how much time do you have? How much time? How much time do you want to go back and forth? How many times do you want to discuss the same thing? How much do you hate your own fucking life? Like, what is going on? Yes, they sued us. I believe the many of the papers were a little disingenuous when they noted in their articles that we'd settled with Personal Audio so that the suit went away, settled for $0.
It's an important
zero.
Detail.
It's important. You should say paid them zero.
Yeah, this asshole got nothing.
Yeah, we said we're not settling. We're fighting. $700,000 in, Personal Audio said, you know what? No mas.
We'll walk away, sign this.
And I didn't say, hey, I got an extra $500K burning a hole in my pocket in 6 months I'm not doing anything with. I said, fine, our long national tragedy is over. We're not paying you a fucking penny. And we ended, and then the papers picked it up and said, Corolla, settled.
For an undisclosed amount.
That's awful.
It's settled.
$86,000 for change of... That's like...
To be fair, it was like $50,000. I remember it was like 50 for the change.
Right.
The unsuccessful change. Right. God knows how much it would have cost.
You paid a guy $50,000 to shoot a half court shot. Doesn't matter if you make it or not.
Doesn't matter.
Like, at least try.
Right. And that was that. But you get these bills for like $27,000. Like, for what? Well, last week. What do we do? It's like, they're working on the case.
At that point, you deserve an itemized list.
But also, it's like, what do we have to work on? They don't have a case. Yes, but when they sue you, you're compelled to mount a defense.
Yep. And then the phrase settling just always makes it seem like you're the loser or the guilty one, you know, whatever. Like, it just always makes it seem like you're in the wrong.
Yeah,
in the public
they turned tail and ran away and said, for zero.
No, we did what we said we were going to do. We beat them down until they left. But as we discovered in yesterday's program, depending on the news outlet, whether they like you or not, they get to kind of say it the way they like to say it. Yeah, it's awesome.
That's great.
It's a Pyrrhic victory. Right. A victory at great loss. Does it make you feel better, though, when, you know, years from now, when Mr. Personal Audio, whoever that is asked, where did it all go wrong? You had a sweet thing going. It's going to be when we barked up the wrong tree and tried to sue Corolla.
Well,
That thing could have gone on for years. Settling with whoever.
What I never get about these companies and or any entity in any form, what you do flies in the face of everything we built this country on. It's all about hard work and pulling yourself up. You're buying old patents and then using them to sue people when you don't have a leg to stand on, but they pay you out of court because they don't want the time, money, and aggravation to come. It's everything that's wrong with this country, not only with you, but with the court system that is all in your pocket and all the local businesses. And the entire construct would make average Americans never stop throwing up, but they don't know what it is.
Right.
You take an average American... 2 years ago, 3 years ago, what's a patent troll? And I go, he lives under some kind of patent bridge. I don't know.
What's a patent troll? What's a podcast?
Yeah, what's a podcast? We don't know what any of this stuff is. And you can get along in the shadows for a good long period of time.
Yeah.
But if you sue somebody with a microphone, then they're going to pipe up. When you sue Sony or Apple or whomever, NBC or whatever, they don't have a loudmouth who's mistaken for a Jew with a microphone. Right. They just quietly send their lawyers in, and it's boring, and it's not exciting, and it's not sexy, and it doesn't make a lot of headlines.
They will settle most of the time. If you're Apple, you're like, here's $1 million.
So
just leave us alone.
What has happened with the patent trolls went after me. I got on the microphone and started yelling about it. They wanted us to stop. They basically said, stop talking about it on the microphone and we'll go away. How fucking dumb do you have to be to go after a guy with a microphone who's a comedian and sue him over nothing?
We love that. It's like we love getting heckled. Like, please heckle me. I'll destroy you. I can't wait for this.
I think they could have gone on with this un-American debauchery. They could have milked it for another 5 years, but then they got on the radar. And when they got on the radar, this is what happened.
Because then you realize, oh, they're idiots. They look stupid. This is dumb.
Huge tactical mistake.
For having two podcasts, thank you for fighting that fight, by the way. You know what I mean? Because I have two, and that was awesome that you fought those morons.
We had no choice, but thanks. All right, Gina Grad, let's wrap it up.
You got it. Sure. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
LifeLock, man. Free Wi-Fi. Oh, we're talking about technology. Yeah, convenient when you're on the go, but free isn't always safe. 92% of Americans put their personal info at risk using public Wi-Fi. Someone's identity is stolen every 2 seconds in ways you may not detect if you're only monitoring your credit. So here's what you need to do. By the way, thieves can steal your information and sell it to the dark web or get one of those online payday loans in your name. You don't want that to happen. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats. If there's a problem, the U.S.-based identity restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all business, but LifeLock, well, they're what you call the industry standard. I have it. Wife has it. Kids have it. Why not get it yourself? It's 2017. You need to protect your identity with LifeLock. Dawson.
Act now and get the added protection of Norton Security free for the first year when you bundle Norton and LifeLock memberships. Plus, for a limited time, you'll also get a special 15% discount off your first year of your LifeLock membership. Call 1-800-LifeLock and go to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam15. That's Adam15 to save 15% today. Terms apply.
All right. I'm doing a live one-man show, not Taco Bell material. That's Saturday, September 23rd, Chicago, Park West. And then Friday, October 13th, Minneapolis Music Hall. Saturday, October 14th, Nashville Polk Theater. Also, Jerry Roach is traveling around. The special, The Gentleman, available now on Netflix. And he's doing headlining dates in the aforementioned Chicago at the Chicago Improv. That is tonight, as you hear this, through Sunday. That is August 10th through the 13th. Tickets and additional dates available on his website. It's Jerry Rocha. It's R-O-C-H-A. JerryRochaComedy.com is where you go. Go to AdamCarolla.com for all the stuff you need and buck slips and mugs and merch and all that kind of stuff. And until next time, Adam Carolla for Dave Damashek, Jerry Rocha, Gina Grad, and Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
Well, I don't want to go there.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail, 888-634-1744. Gina Grad is on the radio weekday mornings at 140 this Saturday night. Chicago Park West, September 23rd. Music Hall, Minneapolis, October 13th. Nashville, James Cake Polk Theater, October 14th. That's where you can find the Ace Man. Tickets and info on all of it, including the Carolla Cruise this November. Visit AdamCarolla.com.